Today's scripture reading comes from Galatians 3, verses 23 through 26. Before coming of his faith, we were held in custody under the law, locked up until faith that was to come would be revealed. So the law was our guardian until Christ came that we might be justified by faith. Now that this faith has come, we are no longer under a guardian. So in Jesus Christ, you are all children of God through faith. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself in Christ. There is neither Jew or Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male or female. For you all are one in Jesus Christ. If you belong to Christ, then you are of Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Bless the reading of the word.
Do I see any children out there? Are there any kiddos that would like to come up and talk to me for just a little bit? Do you want to come up for a minute? And anybody who's young at heart as well is also welcome. We can have just a little tiny talk. Oh my goodness. Look at that lovely dress. Hi, how are you? Hi. You're Teddy?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, did you have fun with those?
Yeah.
Those are cool, aren't they? I kind of want some for myself.
Look at my sword.
Is this a sword? You made a sword?
No. This is my
shirt. Oh, your shirt. Okay.
Look at my mask. Mm-hmm.
Hey, so I don't know, I'm really, really happy to see you all today. And I don't know if I've properly told you who I am. I'm Pastor Kristen. And I'm so happy to see all of you. But I wanted to talk to you today about something very, very special. I'm wondering, have you ever seen somebody get wet in church? Have you seen someone get wet in church? You have? Wow, can you tell me about it?
You get baptized.
Oh, very good, you're one step ahead of me. You're already one step ahead of me. It seems like a weird thing to get wet in church, doesn't it? Because normally we don't get wet, but like it doesn't rain inside of the church, right?
Yeah.
No, and we don't have a pool here. Oh my goodness, you're going to find out. You're going to find out. Uh-huh.
But if you have a special
cool. Yeah, it's pretty cool. It's pretty cool. And you know what? I think there are a few people in here that might frown if we had a water balloon fight. Yeah, but we're not going to do that. No, that would be silly. Well, today, Scarlett is going to get wet in church today. And just like you said, it's her baptism. You're right. Her mom and her dad and her aunts are going to hold her, and then we'll all say some prayers, and then I'm going to sprinkle her with water. And that sprinkling of water, that baptism, that reminds us that God loves us so very, very much. Every one of us. And you know what else it is? It's a big party. It's a party. A baptism is a party. And it's how we celebrate how God loves us and how God wants us to be part of his family. So, but why does Scarlett get wet during baptism? Why do we need to use water? I didn't even know. It seems weird, huh? Yeah. Well, water is one of our gifts from God. Water keeps us clean and healthy. It grows our food. And you can't tell me that you don't have fun playing in water. Do you like to play in water? Oh, it's fun. Do you like to play in water? Especially in the summer.
I love sprinkling.
hose, and they would just spray me as I ran back and forth. I know. It is stuck to the ground. So baptism is a big celebration, and it's a special bath, and it reminds us how much God loves and cares for us and wants us to be part of the family. Do you think we could we pray together for a moment? Do you want to pray with me? So I'm going to say some words, and then you all repeat after me, okay? And that's everybody. Okay? Dear God, thank you for loving us so much.
Thank you for loving us so much.
That you gave us water.
Thank you.
And baptism. And family. Help us to remember your love.
Help us to remember your love.
And share it with others.
And share it with others.
Amen. All right. You can go back and sit with your grown-ups and play with your boxes. And, you know, we'll see you in a bit.
Please pray with me. Holy, holy, holy one, your words feed us. The word frees us. And the spirit gives us life. Grant our ears an appetite for hearing and our spirits strength for loving you. Amen. So in this letter to the Galatians, Paul is trying to show the people that Jesus has changed things. And I know it sounds like a no-brainer, all right? But Paul is saying that there's a difference in between the way that God's love was expressed before and after Jesus. God has always loved us. God has always cared for and invested in humanity. But Jesus definitely changed things. Paul tells the Galatians and us that before Jesus came, religious laws were really, really, really important. They were the essential part of God's plan. Does anybody out there remember how many laws Moses brought down from Mount Sinai? Anybody? 10? That is a really good guess. But the 10 commandments are the ones that we normally think of. They're still really important. any other guesses? Because it's more than 10. How many? 20? 210? Try 613. 613 religious laws that told people what to eat, how to dress, where to worship, how to pray, when to bathe, who you could talk to. I don't know about you, but I have a hard enough time keeping track of the Ten Commandments. I don't know that I could keep up with 613 rules every single day. And like maybe if it was like part of my culture, like it was just sort of like embedded in what I did every day, I might be able to, but I feel like I might need to keep a notebook around with me just to make sure that I was adhering to all of them. But it's really important to understand here that, like, there's a lot of laws, and violating any one of them wasn't a minor thing. Like, your very salvation was at stake for violating one law. And Paul says, hey, you know what? You know those laws. They served us well. And God had purpose in giving us those laws during that time. The law was our guardian, and we needed to have all 613 of those laws to have custody over us. But now, Jesus has died, resurrected, and ascended. Things are different. We don't need to depend on those laws because we have salvation in faith. Let's take a time machine back into ancient Greece for 1 minute and break down the way that Paul was explaining this. The households, like a family unit, like mostly the wealthier ones, they had special servants called pedagogas. And these were long-time trusted servants who were responsible for the educational and moral welfare of the sons. Obviously just the sons, because sending daughters to school wasn't really a thing back then. But let's just pretend that we're talking about all children. These pedagogos, they didn't directly teach the children. They made sure that the kids got to school safely, that they didn't skip class. They had made sure that all of the books and supplies were available. They checked the homework every night. And then, when those children came of age, those household servants weren't really needed anymore. They completed their job. The children are now adults, and they're able to function on their own. And then the pedagogas could retire upstate, into a farm upstate. In this passage, Paul makes the analogy that those 613 laws, like all of those combined, that was like the pedagogas, those household servants. The law was the guardian and the disciplinarian of God's people between the time of Moses and Jesus. The law, like, led people to Christ. Now, I'm not, when I say the law led people to Christ, I don't mean that people, like, progressively made their way to Christ as because they followed the law. We don't make our way to Christ. Christ makes his way to us. There's no other way to be released from confinement of the law. Don't get me wrong, laws are important. Rules are important. And God's laws are really good at exposing selfishness and self-righteousness. Sin, idolatries, rebelliousness against God's will. What the law can't do is make people holy. The law was never, it was only meant to be a diagnostic tool. It wasn't a remedy for sin. And Jesus showed us time and time again that it's possible to obey the law and still not love God or our neighbor. The law was given to Israel to prepare for the coming of Jesus. I chose this translation, the New Revised Standard Version, because in verse 26, it says, so in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. An earlier translation say, sons of God. But I think a better translation of Paul's words is children of God. And I understand why earlier translations specify sons of God, like only sons were able to inherit property. And on rare occasions when daughters did inherit property, it would still be under the administration of a male family member. And people just didn't think about the possibility of women and men as equals. But Paul is telling us that both sons and daughters have equal standing with all of the responsibilities and benefits before God. And Paul says, you are all children of God. All Galatian believers, all of us here today, without distinction, we're already children of God in Christ through faith. There is literally nothing else we are required to do to secure this status. This faithfulness of Christ has brought the Galatians and us into God's family as God's children. When we participate in baptism, as Scarlett will in just a few moments, we participate in a real personal union with Christ. And as we are clothed with Christ in our baptisms, our identities are transformed. We are initiated in a new life where we rank no higher, no lower than anyone else. Our nationality has no bearing on our status before God. Our social class means nothing to God. God doesn't care about our gender. All of these social distinctions are obliterated in Christ. In our baptism, we have a new identity that is more important than all of the others. Our identity as children of God. As members of this family and as the church, one of our responsibilities is to be a sign of God's new creation. And that means taking all of these distinctions that divide us, nationality, gender, political affiliation, race, age, physical abilities, education, social class. We throw all of those away. We throw their power away. We throw away their ability to divide and oppress us, because we are all children of God. This doesn't mean that people who are in Christ cease to be American or black or female or old or anything else. We are still unique individuals, and God didn't create cookie cutouts. There is diversity in this world for a reason. Rather, these distinctions over which we have no control don't determine our status as God's children. The only status that matters is that we are children of God. Thanks be to God. Amen.